Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 31, and it says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now, we read this last week and went over some of those things involved with that, so I'll skip over any introduction other than to just say that Jesus, this little parable is inserted in here, and unlike the other parables that involve planting and harvesting, he gives no explanation for this one. Okay, now we're going to go on, and he's already the parable of the soils, if you will. He's already explained the parable of the wheat and tares. He's about to explain, but this particular one he does not explain. But the meaning is fairly evident and pretty straightforward, and so we'll talk about that for a moment. The mustard seed obviously represents the kingdom of God, because he says the kingdom of God is likened to a grain of mustard seed. The ideal is the minute size of the mustard seed is relative to the small size of the kingdom of heaven, especially at this time in history that we're reading this, okay? In spite of the multitudes that had come to hear the Lord Jesus teach and preach and to see him perform his miracles, Scripture makes it very clear that genuine born-again disciples were very few in number, okay? There were multitudes, but the multitudes would come and go, and they would disperse often, especially when demands began to be made upon them spiritually. And the kingdom, the true converts of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time were very, very few. After the resurrection, which was sometime after this, after the resurrection and then ascension into heaven, over in Acts chapter 1, you find that in the upper room there were only 120 there when the Holy Spirit descended upon them there in the upper room. Not to say that there were no more disciples on earth at that point, but there were not many. Okay, and so 122 is pretty relatively small kingdom, if you will. And so what he's implying here, the kingdom of heaven represents here the size of the kingdom. The small size of the mustard seed represents the small size of the kingdom at that point. But as we know, the kingdom would one day grow into a large body of believers, and that is the picture this parable paints for us. Jesus knew it was going to happen. Now we, in retrospect, 2100 years later, see how Christianity has grown progressively throughout the world during all of these centuries, and it's not done yet. We continue to see people saved. We continue to see the gospel be taken to more and more regions through missionary work, through media sources, and this sort of thing. And so the great tree that Jesus refers to here it continues to grow. The kingdom of heaven still continues to grow. And in doing so, there's another thing that's implied by this parable in the growth and size of the kingdom as it progresses, the blessings that it brings to the world get larger and greater. Okay, the tree here, it says in the last part of the verse, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. As it grew, there was great benefit, obviously, to the birds of the air to come. And the idea of nesting is what he's speaking of here. The idea of nesting is that of protection, safety, refuge. These are all the things that a mother bird would be providing for their children by nesting, okay? And so the picture here is of God's people, the kingdom of heaven, providing for the world blessings, okay? This is a metaphor that in our day would not probably be as familiar to you and I, but in the ancient times, and the times he was speaking to these people, this was a metaphor that they would have been quite familiar with. First of all, they knew their Old Testament Bibles. And if you go back in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, speaks of Nebuchadnezzar's power and his leadership in the Babylonian Empire, and it speaks of, it writes about a dream that was had of this giant tree reaching up to the sky so far that it was able to be seen by the whole world. Okay, that's a pretty big tree when you see the whole world can see it. Okay, and it was said that that tree provided shade for the beasts of the fields and nesting for the birds of the air, and fruit for all that was living upon the earth. And so that, of course, in that dream, it goes on to be described in the book of Daniel as what the great blessings and the benefits that society was receiving as a result of the Babylonian kingdom, okay? In Nebuchadnezzar's time, there in Babylonia, or in Babylon, rather, in the Babylonian Empire, there was unparalleled growth and advancement in almost every area of life. History says that agriculture, education, architecture, the arts, economics, all of these things were prospering and growing during that Babylonian kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar's leadership. And so this is something that would have been familiar to the Jewish hearers being taught by Jesus at this time. Furthermore, if you go over into the book of Ezekiel, it speaks of a very similar metaphor when it speaks of Assyria. It refers to the nation of Assyria as a cedar of Lebanon whose top ascended into the clouds and whose branches provided shelter and shade and nesting, okay? And all of this is described in Ezekiel chapter 31, and it too would have been a familiar metaphor to the hearers of Jesus' words here. And so when Jesus uses this mustard seed and the tree, if you will, and he'll remind you that he's not talking about a literal tree, he's just talking about the mustard plant in the area of Palestine. There's a variety that would grow up to 12 to 15 feet, so that's pretty close to what a tree would be. And so as he speaks of this, he's speaking of the influence, not just the size and growth of the kingdom over the years, but the great influence that God's kingdom would have as it grew upon the earth, the blessings that would flow to the world by the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And when the citizens of the kingdom, which is you and I, are in obedience to God in any age, we're blessings to the world, okay? We might not realize that, but when you and I are obeying the Word of God and walking closely and representing Him well on this earth, we are a blessings to the immediate world for sure, the people around us. But in a general sense, the world at large is blessed by the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. The tenets of Christianity have shaped not just the United States, but many nations. Prior to the United States, the UK, and all of what used to be the greatest kingdom upon earth, okay, the United Kingdom, these were shaped by the tenets of Christianity. Through those tenets, safety, provision, protection, prosperity would be provided for the people, the citizens of those nations, because they were being established based upon the tenets of Christianity. Many of the social issues throughout history in these nations have been resolved or at least improved upon by applying the biblical teachings and standards for instance, education, the judicial or justice, women's rights, children's rights, prison reform, caring for the needy, all of these things find their roots in biblical teaching, okay? How many hospitals, children's homes, orphanages, homeless shelters, soup kitchens have find their roots in some sort of Christian organization? Almost all of them, if you'll look. Almost everyone in America, even our hospital, we call them what, Covenant? Right, because there was the joining of two hospitals that originated from Christian organizations, okay? And so it's that way all across the land, okay? So where the gospel is, the world benefits. And quite frankly, that's the fact. In a nutshell, this parable is, that's what it's implying, is the massive growth of the kingdom of God after Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven, and then the great amount of influence it would always have right up until the Lord comes back. And let's go ahead and read verse 33 and move on to this next little parable, and then I'll have you on your way. It says, another parable he spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay, let's talk about this. Jesus, as usual, was bringing parables that dealt with the common experiences of the people of that society. The people that he was talking to, when he used these parables, they were familiar with all these little things. And so it wasn't that age as it is still today. The primary cooks in the household are females, okay? I don't think anybody would argue that. I'm glad it's that way, okay? So what would happen was that the ladies or the women that were responsible for doing the baking in the ancient times, the women of the house, would take a piece of leavened dough. That's the dough that has the yeast in it, that's fermented, and they would take a piece of the dough from the last batch that was prepared and save it. That batch would go into would rise and then go ahead and go into the oven and be eaten, but this piece of dough or this piece of leavened bread would be withheld from that and saved and then applied to the next batch that was being prepared. And that small portion of leavened bread would then make the next batch ferment and rise and do what it needed to be to make a batch. And there was always a batch out of each one held back for the next batch. And that's what's taking place. It would essentially, that little piece of leaven that was saved would be responsible for leavening, if you will, or fermenting, or causing to ferment and rise, the next batch. I hope I'm being clear enough on this, because we don't need to miss this point. She added, the woman of the house added that, as this text says in verse 33. She took these like unto the leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. And this is what we don't want to miss. Three measures of meal was a very, very large batch of dough, okay? I did some research on this. A measure was equivalent to a modern-day bushel, which is equivalent to about 8 gallons. So, to read it again, she put it in three measures of meal, which would be equal to about 24 gallons. That's a pretty good batch of dough, right? And that's part of his point. That huge batch of dough was leavened by this little bitty piece that she saved from the last batch, okay? And by the way, it was common in those days for them to make huge batches of dough, because the bread was a main staple. It was it was very much a part of every meal, if not the meal in its entirety. Sometimes that's all they had was bread, okay? And so big batches, they were baking bread all the time. Okay, but the point is that small a piece of leavened bread held back, or leaven, and put into this new big batch, that drives a point home. Was adequate. It was enough. It says that she hid it in the three measures till the whole was leavened. In other words, it was accomplished. It was enough to make the next batch what it needed to be. Just as the power of heaven or the kingdom is so great that regardless of the size of the source carrying it, you and I, no matter how inadequate we may be, even the smallest bit of ministry, smallest church, the most insignificant or seemingly insignificant, nobody's insignificant, but seemingly insignificant person can turn the world upside down. That little bit of leaven that you and I have as Christians can make a huge difference in a large part of this world, okay? And because if we're, in fact, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, those who represent the kingdom are carrying the influence of the king. And so we take from what he's done in our life, and what little bit of our life can shine in this world can do great things. And so it's also another point, and then I'll be done. I'm just having a rough night with my notes here again. But the other point that I want to leave you with is it's also perpetual. Not only is it a grand scale, that little bit of influence does great things, that little bit of leavened a huge batch, but it's also perpetual. A small portion from that last batch led to the production of the next batch, which a small portion would be taken from, which led to the next batch, and on and on and on it goes, okay? There's where it gets interesting. In ancient times, I had to research and found this, but it's very good. In ancient times, when a Jewish girl was married, just before her wedding, her mother would give her a small piece of leavened dough from the last batch that she had made in her home, okay? And so that new bride, from that gift of leaven, she would take that and make bread for her new household all throughout her marriage. You see, it's perpetual. And it was such a simple gift, but yet it was cherished by the daughter that received it because it was a part of the blessings, part of the roots of where she came from, her own home, being carried into her new home with her family and bringing the same blessings to them that she received when she was young. And one day, when her daughter's married, she would do the same thing, you see, just perpetual. And it's pretty amazing when you think about that. Jesus, we sometimes read over these parables, 33 is just one verse. But what a profound lesson that one parable teaches you and I about the work of the kingdom of God, because these very things are the way the kingdom works. Our households are no different. And it figuratively, in verse 33, pictures the influence of Christianity. Now, the things that we talked about, the mother and the daughter and the marriage, those were all literal things that took place, but Jesus used it in his parable to give you and I a picture of the great amount of influence we can have as Christians, from person to person, from family to family, from group to group, even from nation to nation. And man, I tell you, I get excited reading that sort of stuff right there. That's good, okay? Good whether I messed it up or not, okay? Let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate you guys very much. And we'll see you back here on Sunday. I hope you'll plan on being at our Christmas party. We try to make it as much as we can with adults. Obviously, if you have no place to go with your kids, bring them and we'll put them out on the playground and leave them. And now, hey, Leroy, bring your family. Come to our Christmas party. We'd love to have you. Why don't you lead us in a word of prayer as we dismiss?